Well, on this Sunday that's closest to November 11th, that is closest to Remembrance Day, it seemed obvious that I would at least look to the lectionary to see if there was anything that connected with the notion of Remembrance Day. And there is. There's much in Scripture about remembering what's gone on before, of course. I mean, Scripture is primarily a text of what has happened as an example to what's going on now and into the future. That doesn't mean that every story in there is going to fit. Not all Jesus' parables will, or Old Testament readings, or epistle readings, or Psalms, or anything. And so it was very gratifying to me that when I was looking at our epistle reading in 2 Thessalonians, that there's something very specific in there about remembering. The ongoing mystery of how the Holy Spirit makes these things happen is a wonder to me, that of all the passages that could have been chosen, we would have got this one. And the particular verse out of 2 Thessalonians that I want us to look at and use as a focus to what we're going to think about for a moment or two, it's verse 15. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter." And it might not have the obvious connection, perhaps, to Remembrance Day, where we take a moment, 2 minutes often, or at least some period in the days right around November 11th, to remember those who have been willing, one way or the other, as volunteers or as victims of conscription that didn't run away, to serve, to, in the words of one poet, put themselves between us and war's desolation. And that's what we do. That's why we wear poppies. That's why we have a wreath at the front of the church. That's why those of us who are able will meet at a cenotaph somewhere tomorrow to remember those people in particular. Some of us won't have a person to place there. If Neela, for example, goes, she's 7, her circle doesn't include any veterans, at least not that I know of, that she would know well. So why would we want to think about them in church? Not because there's anything wrong with them, and I'm not going to get into any kind of a lengthy lecture or explication on the notion of Augustine's just war, or is violence ever appropriate, or anything else. Not that I don't think there's a place for that. I think there is. I'm not sure this is it, though. And we will, instead of trying to figure out whether it was right or wrong, we will simply remember that it happened. And when we think of those, and in this room, I would be very surprised if each of us doesn't have someone in our circle, alive or dead, who served somewhere, perhaps in action, perhaps in a support role. But I would be very surprised that anyone here doesn't have at least someone. And for me, I've got several. And the memories that I have of them mean a great deal to me. Some of them I don't have memories of. One of my father's half-brothers I never met, Alan Holzlander, I never met him because he met his end in Italy in 1944 in a tank. My middle name is Alan, very specifically named after him. Can I remember him? No, I can't. I never met him. My mother never met him. But I remember him right around this time of the year. Well, how? Well, when we look at our passage, when we look at that verse, it says, "So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the teaching we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter." And I don't think it does violence to Scripture to suggest that those that by word of mouth or by letter aren't the only ways that things can be passed on. I strongly believe that those who hung around with Paul, who hung around with Jesus or the prophets or anyone else, learned how to be a follower of God by watching them as well. That it wasn't just what they said, it wasn't just what they wrote in a letter. I think Paul's using those as pay attention to what we provided for you and that others provided for you as an example. As explicit teachings in the form of this letter, for example, or in the sermons that Paul and Peter and all the others have delivered, but also in the example of how we lived our lives, the choices we made, the places we went to, the way we interacted with people. Can I remember Alan, who I never met? Yes, I can, because he had a significant effect on my father, who I remember quite well. I can remember not just him, but I can remember people that I didn't know tremendously well, but who I saw and who I watched and who I saw interacting around a wide range of things. And when Heather and I were at First Presbyterian, we had the great good fortune to get to know a number of people who had served. And I think of Fred Sim, and I think of Jim Brown, and I think primarily of David Marshall. Men who were not inclined to sort of throw their stories as veterans out there. They all served in the Second World War. But they were willing to talk about it. And when I think of some of the ways that I do church, I do some of them the way I do because of David Marshall. And not because he also served in a tank. He was in Holland, but he came back. Not because of what he did as a veteran, but because of who he was as a person. And for those of you who also had the good fortune of knowing David Marshall, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Someone filled with the joy of life who was deeply committed to church and saw its enduring value. That it wasn't just a place to get together with people who thought like him. He said church made a difference to the world at large and was a place that was well worth your time as a volunteer, your money as a supporter, your prayer as a member of the community. Part of what went into that was his service in the military. Would David have been just as delightful a person without it? I suspect he would have been. But you can't separate out those parts. You can't separate out what everything that goes into making you, you. You can't say, well, I don't like that part. I wish it was gone forever. Many of us who have got moments in our past that we wish never would have happened. I suspect that all of us have had those moments when we think, oh, I wish that had never happened. But then when you think about it, you think, well, if that had never happened, where would I be now? What changes would that have wrought? Would I be here? Would I have met the people I've met? Would I have had those opportunities to minister to others without that event, whatever it is, pleasant or unpleasant? And when we think about that, we tend to say, well, okay, I'm willing to put up with the fact that I have that particular bit of stupidity or whatever it is in the past. When we get together to remember here on Remembrance Day, we remember a particular part of these people we know, and we think about that in particular for this period of time. I think of Jim Brown, who was in the Air Force as a pilot, and he said it changed part of him forever, that being in the air. It was just something that got into him, and it never went away. He never would have known that otherwise. I don't think he had any interest in flying until he was drafted or volunteered. I can't even remember how he ended up in there, but showed an aptitude for that and ended up being a pilot. And it made him the person that I knew. So around this time of the year, I'm reminded of how he became the wonderful man I got to know. That's part of it. And around Remembrance Day, we remember what it means to be willing to serve. And we think in particular being willing to serve in the military. It has some tremendous benefits. I've had all kinds of people talk to me about the discipline they've learned and all of those things. And when you talk to anybody who uses those sorts of terms and has also seen active service, ask them if they would like everybody to go through everything they did, and the answer is usually no. They wish people could go through the training often to have an exposure to a particular kind of discipline. Say what you like about military discipline. Lots of it's kind of weird, but it creates something within you that frequently allows you to be very successful in other ways. But off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone who saw active service who thinks that anybody else ever should have to do that. They did it so no one else would have to, more than anything else. When I think of those who served, particularly in the Second World War, that's why they went. Not because they wanted to, not because they thought it was a good thing in and of itself, but because they felt it had to be done. When I think of those people I know who are much, much younger than them, who have had military service of one kind or another, for whatever reason, some as simple as a way to education, some because that was just the requirement of the country that they were from. When I talk to them, they don't have the same sense that David did, but they don't have any sense that fighting is a good thing. Remembrance Day is a very conflicted day for most of us. It's easy for us to look at the outcomes. It's easy for us, if we're of that mind, to look at the military glory from the perspective of history rather than from the perspective of somebody who lived through it. And of all the great things that David Marshall in particular did for me is he gave me a sense of what it means to live through it. As I was thinking of hymns for today, singing O Canada is sort of a no-brainer. But if you're looking at the hymns, you may be wondering, why on earth are we singing Morning Has Broken? Because David gave me a sense that I will probably never understand of what it means to see morning. Someone who's been under bombardment, someone who has been around people that you have gotten to know well who are now dead, sees mourning in a way that the rest of us never will. Because mourning means you're alive. When I wake up in the morning, when I see the sunrise, I don't think, wow, I'm alive, and that might not have happened otherwise. Sometimes I rejoice in another day. Some days I say, well, you know, it's going to be a good day. I'm glad I'm here. But I've never greeted the dawn as I'm alive, I might not be otherwise. We remember these people who have taught us what it means to be men and women of faith. Because it wasn't just men who served, it was women who served. And we know some of those too, or at least I hope we do. And we look at them now, and we look at who they are, and we realize that God can take any experience and shape it for good. That God can take anything we've gone through and shape us into people who are closer to Him than we would be otherwise. We can look to the example of those who served. We can look to the example of all of those around us, but at this time of the year, we think of them. And we can look at them as another window into what God can do. We can look at them as another way of teaching that we can hold on to, that was passed on to us, not by word of mouth, not by letter, but by lives lived. We remember these people with gratitude today, whether we knew them or not, because of what they're willing to do. And if we choose to, we can look at their example and we can learn from it. Sometimes, of course, we learn what not to do. But mostly we learn that there are times to do things that we probably wouldn't choose to do. There are times that we do things that are morally and ethically ambiguous because we don't know everything. We look at them as examples of people who did what they thought was best. And they did it for others. I've never seen any studies on why people go into the military. I've never had any reason to. But I've done a lot of reading about military things, and for various reasons, I've known some. I don't know anybody who went into it for themselves, just to be there. I know some who used, as I said, the military as a way to education or anything else. But most of the people I know who served did it for somebody else. The level of sacrifice required. It's hardly ever a sacrifice we're willing to make for ourselves, but are often willing to make for someone else. This time in November, we look at wreaths, we look at poppies, and we remember those who are willing to do whatever it took for us, people they never met. Sound familiar? People aren't Jesus. But people do the same kinds of things that he did. It was Jesus who said, "Greater love has no one than someone willing to lay down their life for their friends." Or people who aren't even their friends, people they've never met and never can meet. That willingness to sacrifice is something we remember, and that willingness to sacrifice is something that we see through Scripture. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the teaching we and others passed on to you, whether by word of mouth, or by letter, or by example of life, I think is an okay way for us to think of this verse of Scripture. And on this Sunday, closest to Remembrance Day, I think it's something that we should do. The sermon title is simply Remember. It's a reminder that we need to remember. And I'm almost indescribably grateful that we set aside a day to remember these people. Somebody once asked me what I thought about Remembrance Day, and I said, well, I don't really think about it a lot, because just the kind of person I am, I can't not remember. It doesn't make me special, it just makes me that's who I am. I can't not remember. I think of this, I would be astonished if the kinds of thoughts that most people have on Remembrance Day don't go through my head at least once a week. That's just who I am. But I'm still grateful that we set aside the time to remember those who are willing to serve, not just from a sense of duty, but also from the sense that as we remember what they did, it changes who we are and makes us, if we allow it, to be better people. That our willingness to remember those who are willing to sacrifice to this level can make us better followers of God, can conform us even more to the likeness of Jesus. So as we've taken the time this morning with moments of silence, as we've thought about it now, and as hopefully we'll have opportunity to think about it tomorrow, my only real word today for you and for us all is remember. Amen. Let us pray.